Calling the meeting to order at 1:01.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have a motion to approve the agenda as presented.
Commissioner, I'd like to add to this agenda an executive session on legal matters.
There is one.
Pardon me?
It's on the back.
Oh, is it? I'm sorry. You did get it on there.
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry.
She's one step ahead of you, Jim.
She's always one step ahead of you.
Again.
Thank you.
So is there a motion to approve the agenda?
Agenda as presented. So moved.
Second.
Thanks. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. So it's done. Public comment. Citizens can address the commission. Okay. All right. So, consent agenda, which is basically routine matters that will be enacted by one motion with no separate discussion. If we want to discuss any of these, we can, the item can be removed from the consent agenda by one of the commissioners.
I move approval of the consent agenda.
Second. One question. Is the Pacific Environmental Service, that's the hydrographic survey?
No, Pacific Environmental is the fuel system.
Okay, got it. Great, okay, thanks.
Replumbing and then subsequent rewiring of.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, the financial report.
Juanita.
All right. Did you guys all get a chance to go
through the look at that? On page 3, I'm trying to understand the fuel surge, fuel sales net of $773, and that's for 4 months.
On this page, yes.
Yeah, and it was $9,000 last year. Well, I just wonder why it seems kind of low. Is that correct? Maybe it's not.
From our budget, yes, it is low. We're very optimistic when we did the budgets.
Well, something can confuse me a little bit. When we say net, it can be offset when we buy fuel 1 month.
Correct.
And so that covers several months. So that's maybe the dynamic there.
Right.
Okay.
So we're probably sitting with a full tank of fuel out there worth $20,000.
At the end of April.
Okay. At the end of April. Just, okay.
Okay.
I was I saw that too. And
we just had a big sale increase last weekend, so
numbers
will change.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big difference between 700 and 9,000 budget versus, you know.
Right.
So.
And that's something that's kind of hard to predict when it comes to budget.
So, yeah. So it's extra inventory. Yeah.
I noticed. I'm sorry, Walt, did you have any more?
No, that was my first.
Okay. Yeah. I just wanted to clarify. I stopped and asked Juanita about this earlier. I'm looking at page 6, which is for revenue for the 4 month period, and it shows the yacht club as basically behind in their rent by 1 month. Is that caught up now? And
it is. And on my reports that I show you guys at the end of the meeting is, you will see the difference that mm-hmm. they have paid and they are caught up, so they're not behind. They are
okay.
Paid,
okay. That's something I think we just want to be very conscious of, that we don't give any impression of favoritism or to one tenant over another in terms of rent due dates.
Anything else?
I have some, just a general issue. With the delay in the covered moorage, we're going to lose parking and visitor dock income if it goes as late as it looks like it may go. I think we need to consider that in our budget reconciliation at mid-year. Do we need to make some adjustments? Maybe that fuel sale kind of tweaked my thing, but that could be significant and something And then, of course, we also have the issue of we haven't budgeted lawsuit costs, so that puts a negative variance in. So we've got some dynamics in our budget that I think when we do the mid-year review, we need to see if we need to pull back on some spending or whatever to pro forma it out so we're kind of balanced, okay? There was one other thing, they probably told me not to do this. We have this post-issuance compliant policy that requires us to maintain a separate record of expenditures and receipts for the covered mortgage. Is that something that is that something we should be seeing periodically?
I think it is. I think we owe you a report, and we'll have it for you then.
Okay, so we'll just show, because that throws a little monkey wrench in this too, when the money's coming in big clumps and going out in big clumps.
Right.
But if we have that, that might be helpful to have.
We will have that for you next meeting. Thank
okay,
you.
Okay, that's
that.
Okay.
And I do stay on top of that. I do check it every other week and make sure all in one nice spreadsheet for you guys for each project that we're doing.
Well, I understand for the projects with the covered mortgage, we have to maintain records.
For a bond.
For the bond. Right. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, now we've been in copied of invoices all in a nice paper folder.
So the auditors will smile.
Right.
Have we made the first draw on the bond yet?
We did.
Yes.
Yeah.
How much was that?
$500,000.
Okay. Is that, maybe it's because it was in May and this is April 30th, is that reflected anywhere in here that I can go to without having to bug you guys?
No, it did. We did end up drawing it on the 1st of May.
Okay.
Now, as I understand
it, would that show up somewhere?
Next month it'll show up.
No, the county treasurer holds that for us. Is that right?
Yes.
So we draw from the county on that.
We request to the county and the bank, and then all the money goes to the county.
And then we draw it.
A special fund, and then we draw from that fund.
Okay.
Do we get our, what's the word I want to use? Infinitesimal amount of interest on the money that the county's holding for us? 0.01% or whatever they're paying now.
Yeah, I don't.
Less than it costs to write that big procedure on how you account for all that.
So next year won't actually be the mid-year report. Next month, but we will start talking, I'm assuming, about the issues that need to be addressed in the mid-year review.
Right.
Okay. Anything else on the financial report?
Before we go on to the next, I just want to, before Juanita goes into this in detail, I want to say how amazing it is that Juanita has stepped up to the plate and done her first annual report. This is a document that is very difficult to do to the state. It's not something you take lightly. And thank you, Juanita, for doing it. It's perfect.
I did have a deadline.
So now you can talk.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Some of it.
Some of it. My review was superficial. I just didn't set aside enough time to look at it. But we will. I'll get back to that question. Okay. This is off.
Yeah, just need to tell me yes or no on the audit.
Is this a copy of this in the public folder?
Yes.
Is a copy on online available too?
Yes.
Good. I just noticed one thing, and I want to just flag it for right now: the reference to Honduras here. When we get farther on in the commission reports, I'll have a couple of Honduras comments. I didn't want to space that out in my senile mind.
For the public's consideration, this document basically outlines the entire financial operation report. It talks about our liabilities, talks about where our income streams are coming from, it talks about all of the protections we have to protect port assets. It's a pretty interesting document to read, so definitely take some time if you're interested in our operation.
Is there a timing requirement at this point in terms of you needing to submit this anywhere? Could we, since not all of us have had a chance to really dig into this?
It's due the 30th of this
month. Yeah, you've got 6 days.
Okay. So basically by the end of this week.
Yeah.
Yes. We should, if we have any comments, we should, if we
well,
see
yeah, if you can give us a little time to make the corrections.
yeah, I
can. We have to submit it, and then I have to sign a copy online. So.
Just a general question. There was some talk about using this to get a financial rating for all the jurisdictions. Do you know if that program is in place?
I don't know.
They were, you know, it was to determine your financial health, basically, that the state was going to start doing that.
So is action approving this, which I don't think we're ready to do. I think we want to have an opportunity to submit comments and questions.
I think we need to take action so that they can get it off on time.
Well, that's what I'm
concerned about. We don't need a separate meeting
What kind of action do you need?
Well, technically, I don't need action, but I want action. I would like the commissioners to approve what we put together, but I don't need a formal vote in public to sign this as the executive officer.
I think the thing to keep in mind is that this is a snapshot as of 4 months, almost 5 months ago.
Yes.
So some of it seems dated, but it's actually correct as of the date of the statement.
So take some time and let me know if there are any changes you'd like, and we can make those. We don't need a formal vote.
So how about something that if you don't comment by Friday,
it's going
as is?
Yeah. So you want to speak up? Do so as soon as possible. Okay. All right. So our next item is a resolution to cancel warrant number 31822. Could you explain this a little more?
Yes, I can. This was a previous tenant who, after leaving and after his deposits were given back, or to offset the mortgage, he had $5.94 coming to him. We waited a while. We already closed the books for last year. So I gave him a call and asked him if he received it. He said, yeah, I think so. I asked him if he was going to cash it, deposit something. He's like, no, just write it off.
Okay.
So, and that's what we did.
So is there a motion to resolution number 5012017 to that the warrant identified below be canceled?
So moved.
Second.
Any other questions or discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
And yet another warrant cancellation. This seems fairly self-explanatory, but you might want to walk through it, Juanita.
Yeah, so like it says, it was sent to the wrong address from a, they used to be there last year, so we just automatically just send it. The AP person called me and asked if we had sent it. I said yes. Gave her the address. She said that's wrong. The person who lived there now, or the business that lived there now, would just throw their mail away. He wouldn't forward it or anything. So we just canceled that warrant and went ahead and paid with the credit card.
We did get a copy of, or we did get the original one back. I'll move approval resolution number 502-2017 to cancel warrant number 32256 in the amount of $450.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, the next one is yet another warrant cancellation. Looks like you're deeply involved in cleanup here. So. And this is in the amount of $27,975.06. Again, you want to just describe what
we're doing? Yeah, basically, it was just the wrong amount was issued. We looked at the bottom number instead of noticing that we had previously paid an invoice that was attached on top of that one. So, yeah, it was only $7,000. It's on this warrant list for this meeting. So, it was adjusted and fixed caught in time.
Yeah, when I saw this, this answered my question that had popped up when I read the warrant list. Mm-hmm. Why are we sending two checks?
Right.
Okay.
And they're mailing back that check.
A motion to approve this resolution to cancel warrant 32289.
So moved.
Second.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay, master plan revisions.
Commissioner Slev, you received the first chapter a few months ago, and thought it time to get back on the train to slowly go through our master plan section by section and get commissioner comments so that staff can take that and relay it for your consideration. So no action required on this. If you look through it, a lot of the changes are obvious. Commissioners have changed other things. But give me ideas on content that you would like to see in there. And you don't have to write it out. Just say needs embellishing, needs removal. Any ideas that we can help with as far as...
I gave comments to Sam, but they're mostly editorial. But I'm thinking this plan is effective January 1st, basically. So the plan should describe the port as of at the end of this year. Mm-hmm. And by that way, we may be on a trajectory for upland development or things like that. So I think that we're talking about what is, you know, all the numbers and everything brought up to date.
Right.
You know.
So are you suggesting that it should be sort of written in the future so that when you, if it's effective December 31, 2017, that our text would reflect what we...
Basically, we've got some obsolete language in there, mm-hmm. but we also say if we're going to embark on a major project,
okay,
we should inform the public of what our intent is there, so this plan serves to inform the general public of where we're going and why. So that's kind of what I'm talking about. We may not be there by then, but if we are, it would be helpful to have something descriptive in there, because that's what this is for.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a 7-year plan projecting out, so it would be from January 1 for the next 7 years. How do we plan that?
I'm kind of thinking about the land development projects or something like that.
Okay. So there isn't action required. We'll do our homework, send it over to you, and then you will be listed as the one who writes it in the next version.
Right.
Okay. Good.
And if I may, commissioners, I will. The last page of this section that was submitted in the master plan is to include section 2.5, which is prior grant funded projects. I will get some homework done over the next week or so and get everybody an updated list so that we can incorporate that and you guys have that information at your fingertips.
Yeah. The IAC is now RCO.
Okay, got it.
So that, you know, I marked it up, so, but they're not separate organizations.
Okay.
It's the state organization that does grants.
Is there an opportunity for the community to take a look at the plan as we do updates to it? Mm-hmm. Is it on the website at this point?
The updates aren't, but the original plan is on the website, so that is downloadable.
Okay. Okay, is it on the website with a request for?
No, it is not. We wanted to get to the, kind of a draft stage. We thought it'd be better to get it to a draft stage.
And so what's your sense of timing when we'll get to some public comment and input and then actually have it adopted?
So our goal is to have sections 1 and 2 complete in the next month. Our interpretation for your review, we can put that on the website. Our goal is to have this approved by the end of the year.
Okay. And how many more sections are there?
Is there 8 total, I think, Sam?
Let's see. So we have a total of, my fingers will work here. We do have a total of, it runs all the way through, there's 10 sections. That includes all appendices. So, you know, some are going to be larger than others. You know, we may be able to do a couple of chapters in one review period. But as it goes, you know, we are on target for review and approval by the end of the year.
Good. Okay. Old business, discussion only, court sponsorship of the Welcome to Kingston sign.
Commissioners, you know, we've talked about this a few times over the last few months. And we want to kind of, we've come to a point now where we need some closure. We attended a meeting yesterday. It was a great meeting. Clint Boxman chaired it. There were about 8 of us there. It was a good discussion on where we're going and how to get there. The issue still is funding, obviously. Rotary has secured $10,000, $5,000 from a donor and $5,000 from Rotary. They also believe that their golf tournament, the fun run, the beer tent will be able to generate possibly another $5,000. But there's a funding gap there that's quite large. So Clint and I have been talking about ways that the port can get involved in a major way to push this over the finish line. It was discussed yesterday. We've been talking about this for 10 years. How do we move this across the finish line? They need at least $20,000, which is kind of the minimum they need to make this work. That would be in cash, and then the other would be in kind. So one of the things we talked about to get them to that point is if the commission felt secure in donating $15,000 to the project, that would get them close to the finish line, but not over. So we talked about a mechanism where the port would put up matching funds or whatever we want to call it, how we could do it, where if we put in another $5,000, which would make our contribution 20 total, that $5,000 would have to be matched. So someone in the community would have to come back with another $5,000. We believe that if that formula would work, we would be obviously the major donor to the sign. But it would give them enough money to push it over the finish line and get it done. So obviously the first thing is figuring out how do we get it done. Then we have to figure out the mechanics of that. We had quite a discussion yesterday on a committee of putting together a committee of 10 people, I believe, that would include Rotary, Kiwanis, Yacht Club, Port, County, Village Green. There were quite a few other organizations. And that committee would put together the rules and regulations of how the sign would work, as far as who could post, how much they could post, would there be a charge for those posts. So the devil's in the details always. That would be something that the committee would put together as far as how the sign would operate. I did have a nice meeting with Linda Fife the other day about how the port and the MPD can work together in managing this operation. So that all needs to be worked out, who's actually feet on the ground, who's inputting, who's monitoring, who's deleting. So obviously that's a little farther down the road. But right now, they need a commitment so they can go to Hanson Signs and say, we want to buy this thing, give us the plans. So I told Clint it was on the agenda today. I would be asking the commissioners for a commitment to fund this. but I wanted to have it in an open discussion as your thoughts. So this, what I gave you is the financial quote, and on the back is kind of the agenda of, you know, what we talked about yesterday. The county is working, Rebecca is working with the county. Rob Gelder has pretty much put this on the priority list that he's going to push this through DCD. We're going to actually try to get DCD to waive our fees. So this is it's an interesting project that's really being put together by the community.
Which is kind of how Kingston does things.
Do we have any kind of ideas of what the ongoing maintenance cost would be?
We talked about that, and Clinton was going to go back to Hanson Signs. We did make a decision yesterday, because we've solicited bids for the last 3 months and no one else has responded, that we would move forward with Hanson. And Hanson was going to come back to us with some kind of a maintenance requirement. We did talk about how much it would cost to actually put a message on the sign and how that money could be used for maintenance, whether that's $500 a year, $1,000 a year. We talked about things as low as $20 a week to put your message up on the board, and that would give us enough money to make sure if we needed software updates or anything else that we could take care of that.
I understand when we talk about maintenance, we're talking about hardware maintenance and maybe a maintenance contract, but the landscaping our staff would do.
Right. Well, probably. Staff is very excited about it. We had a staff meeting yesterday, and Ray's ready.
Well, like Mary mentioned, if this is going to have our name on it, we'd really like it to look good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am more concerned about the maintenance, the mechanical and electronic maintenance of the sign. At some point along the line, I heard somebody float an idea of maybe we could get Puget Sound Energy to, you know, donate the electrical hookup or give us some kind of break on all that after hearing the Avista guy talk at WPPA the other day. But, gee, there's somebody they ought to be listening to. Is that moved at all, or is that just
that is moving. I'm trying to remember who was to the left of me who was going to contact. Oh, it was Colleen. So Colleen is going to contact PSE so that every one of us got our own little jobs to do. So we'll see how that goes. So she does have a contact at PSE, and Rebecca's doing permitting. Matter of fact, she was going to go in yesterday afternoon and take the drawings to DCD and see what it would take.
Well, this seems to be within the financial constraints that we discussed at our last meeting when we discussed this. And it seems like you've done what we asked you to do. And I'm comfortable going forward before the operational details are worked out, because I think to do that right, it's going to take a little time, and I don't want to hold up planning by saying, let's get that all worked out first. So I'm comfortable on setting a financial contribution amount and then leaving it to you to work out the operational details and let us keep us informed.
Let me ask two sticky questions. Rotary is planning to raise and commit more funds through their summer projects. Excuse me. Where does that fit in with the idea of community match? Would that constitute the community match, or would that be added on top and delete the amount that we're, or not delete, but reduce the amount that we're putting in? How does that fit into the overall budget? And then the stickier question is, let's assume for the moment that there's nothing but the $35,000 right there, except that the community challenge doesn't go through. What happens then with the $15,000 we did pledge and the $5,000 that we held out as matching?
So a couple things. One, it's great having Dave Wetter on the committee, because he's been there, done that. And his first comment was, we need a contingency in this $35,000. So none of us believe that for $35,000 we're actually going to build this. Probably going to be closer to $40 by the time we're done. So we're building in this, the additional funds that the Rotary is going to raise is not going to be part of the match. We're looking for that match to be from a community member, and Clint seems to think that he can get it. He's talked to enough community members that if we put a challenge out there, he feels he can get that from community members. But, again, your question is a valid one. What happens if it doesn't?
I understand they don't start until they have the funds.
Right.
So we don't pay anything until they're fully obligated. They've got funds fully obligated. So that limits our risk of having $15,000 floating around.
It also puts us in the crosshairs if they're only a couple of thousand short.
It does.
And then I will come back to the commission. Matter of fact, Dave Witter was lobbying me to match or raise our match to $6,000 instead of five.
Of course.
Carolyn, I've noticed you sort of, your antennas were quivering. And I'm wondering if there are any issues in the procedures or the policy issues that Jim mentioned that we need to be aware of as potential hazardous traps,
yeah,
things we can or can't do, shouldn't do.
Good question. We have some sample ones, and I'm happy to share them with Jim. We want to be mindful that that as a public agency, there's no discriminatory policies, etc. But this fits well within the board's mission of economic development.
I think if we're doing a capital purchase, we have to own the asset under the law. You bought the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is enough of it, but there's something in Title 53 about owning the asset if you're buying it. I could find that maybe,
yeah.
But you know, I think we're okay here. Mm-hmm. But I think the our intent is to own the asset.
Well, I think the intent is that Rotary will build this, get it up and running, and then we'll actually deed it to us. Because in order for us to insure it, it has to be our property. So that's the intent, that they will do it, and then it will be our asset.
Any red flags with the idea of a committee setting up the policies that we need to abide by, other than like you mentioned? It's going to be strictly non-profit, because I understand they can't have a commercial message on the right-of-way. So does that raise any issues?
It's just that we have to be... they have to be mindful and to buy into the any restrictions that we have as a public agency, and I'm sure Jim will be persuasive on those points.
Especially if he's still holding the check.
Yeah.
I think I expressed this concern before. I don't want our staff to have to be in the decision-making process of who. I think they should have very clear procedures that are agreed to, so it's not a negotiation process on who gets to sign the sign when and all that. That's all laid out ahead of time. So we can do our job without having clear rules on how we manage the sign. So I'm kind of in favor of getting that buy-in on that, because I know it's going to happen. It's an emergency. It just happened. It's got to get on there. It's this weekend. All that stuff. Yeah.
There will have to be some, no doubt, some discretionary decisions made, too, about how something is worded or what is said. I can imagine problems coming up that, are, no matter how hard we try, are going to land in Sam's lap or whoever is doing that. And to the extent we can get it clear that these are the restrictions and the court's interpretation of how we're going to and what we're going to put on there is final and unappealable, that's going to be important.
Okay, we had a great talk yesterday about a single-page form with check boxes. Is it a nonprofit? Is it within this time frame? Is it within the date? And if it's not a submission. So I think the committee we have now believes that those rules should be very cut and dry, that no one has to make a decision.
I think we should influence the fee charging. You might want to set a criteria that it pays for the maintenance contract or something like that, but something that's cost-based. Our cost base, however we want to do that. But you got to realize some organizations don't have much money.
Yeah, you got to keep it nominal. And I went to Port Townsend's Chamber of Commerce, who runs their sign. They charge $20 a week, which is a nominal charge to be up there. And I think something like that won't break an organization, but it'll allow us to recoup enough operating money funds.
Yeah, that's my biggest concern at this point, is not knowing what is the expected ongoing maintenance, and because that can eat us over time. if we just sign on a blank check. I do agree with Commissioner Elliott that there's got to be some kind of a charge for it that pays that, so that we're not only buying the sign but also being the only one to fund it. There's got to be some community support, as it were.
Have you heard in the committee discussion any resistance to the idea of there being a nominal charge?
No. Matter of fact, the discussion yesterday was $20 a week sounds awful cheap. But that was only 8 people. There would be a lot more opinions.
Well, if you've got, say, 5 messages rotating at a time on average, that's $100 a week.
Yeah.
You know, that should generate a pool that would I would hope pay for the maintenance on it and the upgrades, and maybe even for, you know, if we have to go out and buy some particular plants to put there or something like that.
So this will become another category on basically the time tracking for staff.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. I guess a comment I would have is that I have yet to meet a set of criteria that is foolproof. So stating director discretion is pretty important, mm-hmm. in addition to making it as clear as possible. So do you have what you need from us at this point?
I move that the director is authorized to commit the port to $15,000 for the sign with a $5,000 matching commitment.
I'll second the motion, but I would like to request that if the maintenance costs cause you even briefly to stop and think, we'd like to revisit this before making the, you know, going forward with the commitment.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
And aye. So done. Okay. Our next item. Is to ask if anyone else has comments they would like to make to the commission.
Okay. I have some more old business. This week was the date for Heartland to give us their report. Can we schedule a special meeting maybe next week for them to present it to us, or are they too far behind for that?
They're too far behind for that. That was going to be my executive director report.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I get ahead of you?
Well, that's fine. Okay. I don't have a formal executive director report, but there are a few things I wanted to talk about.
Yeah. Okay. The other one was we were going to meet with the assessor to talk about district boundaries. Is that going to be in your report?
No. Okay. I have yet to schedule that.
Okay.
Meeting.
Okay. And then the other thing about the electronic gate at the Tooth property. Mm-hmm. This is just my old thing, is maybe we could also, if we're going to talk about that, it would also be feasible to put it in the launch ramp restroom.
Okay.
So that so far it can be open a little longer than the staff hours.
Great.
You know, whether that would be at least something we should consider. Because us old guys at the far end of the dock have a long way to go after you close that restroom.
Those are all great topics, and I have some updates for you.
Okay, thank you. All I have.
So that turns us to your report.
So thank you, Commissioner, for bringing a couple other things up. I spoke with Matt Anderson this morning and Matt Hoffman, both from Heartland. They apologize. They are running about 3 weeks behind.
Okay.
They set their own deadline of June 15th, so that week they will have it all finalized. Mm-hmm. I did remind them, and I don't think they knew this, that this is a draft report and it needs to be submitted to the commission for their comments. They said, well, we've already have a designer and it's already going to be really pretty. And I said, well, it might be changed. So no, don't make it too pretty. So, but he will have us a draft report by the 15th of June. On the electronic gate, Sam has been meeting with, she's actually, maybe Sam, you should brief them on what Viking Fence has told you.
Well, you know, Viking Fence has not gotten back to us yet. They did come out to provide us, to kind of assess the situation on the property. And, sorry, for the members of the public that are present, what we're talking about, the Conk property is that little property next to the Hill House, just at the top of the port's parking area here, that we do leave open as kind of a day use public access to the water, little park area. And we've been, traditionally, we have closed that public access area, you know, before staff goes home for the day, just to, you know, keep people out at night, keep it safe. There have been some requests from the community to extend those access hours so that people can use the park before work or after work when staff is not there. And with that, we've been looking at options to potentially install a timed electronic locking mechanism on the pedestrian gate that will allow us to program it to unlock at sunrise and lock at sunset. And then we could mount signage to let the public know that it will be unlocked at that time. So with that, we had Viking Fence out. They have yet to provide the quote to us. They have promised that quote to us this week. So my hope is that we can submit that to the board for their review. You know, pass that along for you, Jim, to take with you to the work session on Tuesday. You know, the guys are getting excited and they're looking at different options. Steve has been really amazing in kind of spearheading some additional research, and numbers can get inflated and big and things like that, but I think there might be some alternatives that we can look at that will just, you know, that will keep our costs down, but you know, the full Monty, the full package with the gate and nobody can reach over, and it gets expensive, but hopefully by next week we'll have something for you guys.
So, I'm just thinking about the timing of all of this, because the further we get into the summer, the more lost opportunities for people to enjoy it. So, if we get some alternatives at our work session on Tuesday, can't take action, we could decide at that time to create a special meeting, to designate a special meeting in order to take action.
Exactly.
Before the end of June.
Designate the next week's meeting, or call one that week. And,
okay.
But, you know, depending on what those quotes come at, you know, it could be within the executive director's spending authority to make that decision without a motion from the board.
And I'm hoping that it will be my spending.
Well, that's my
personal If it's more than that, I'm not sure it's worthwhile.
No.
Good.
Okay, so that's good to know.
The other thing is the bar restroom. The reason that restroom does not have locks on it is we don't have cabling going out there.
Oh, okay.
To have it integrated into our system. So that's the bad news, and that's why we've been...
Well, I just meant the time lock.
Right.
Yeah.
But actually, this week, we've got good news. We need to upgrade our gate software. And the new software and hardware is wireless now. So we actually could, if the commission desires, incorporate that FAR restroom in our regular coded key lock. We wouldn't have to run wires. It would be a wireless communication. So more to follow as far as how much that option would cost if we wanted to add that to our... We're going to have to do the software anyway, but we might be able to add that option at a nominal price.
I was really thinking keeping it as an open public restroom, but be able to extend the hours, that's all.
Right.
You know, but if you have another suggestion, I'd really like to hear it.
Right. And the last thing I have in my report is, it is so much fun having those chairs in the park. Not only are people in them every day, all day, some people sit in for hours. What I like is the giggles. You'll see a couple walking over to the chairs, and then all you hear is giggles because of the way people look in the chairs. And they're taking pictures, they're posting them online. They have been a real hit, so I think it's been fun.
So where all are they at this point, and how many are there?
Well, there's two on stage and two overlooking the water in the port, and then the Mercantile has two. There's two in Arness Park. There's one in Cola Park, and there's two at Susan Rogers Place. I think there's 12 that are here now, and they're looking to do 20. So the goal is to get 8 more around town.
What, I missed the whole genesis of those things. I understand Susan Rogers and Doug Woodside were kind of the moving force behind it. When I walked by this morning, I saw that one of them says Kingston on it, and the other says Port of Kingston. Right. Did we buy one, or how?
We bought four. So we bought four. Two of them are going to be paid for with RCO funds because they're going to go up to Washington Park.
Okay.
So the two of them will be at Washington Park when it's done. They were made, so we didn't have a chance to say, well, wait a minute, delay that. So we just thought we'd put them down in mm-hmm. Mike Wallace Park right now. The genesis was that Susan Rogers and Doug got together, thought this was a great idea. They invited Commissioner Gelder, and he just thought it was the greatest idea. He personally bought four chairs, and it just kind of morphed into this could be that mnemonic for Kingston, you know, come and sit a while. So there's a lot of marketing ideas. Colleen has picked up some of doing selfies in all the chairs. And if you do a selfie in all the chairs, you get something. So we're trying to come up with a promotion that includes it as a tourist thing. It was interesting the day they delivered the chairs to the port, they were putting the second one on the stage the same time the ferry was coming off. And I'm watching from my office, and there was a lineup of people coming off the ferry to sit in the chairs and get pictures taken. And you know those people are going back to, you know, Edmonds or wherever and saying, you got to go to Kingston and see these chairs. So it was brilliant. It was really a nice marketing
and idea. At Washington Avenue, you'll have the town in the background, or yeah. not right near, mm-hmm. so it'll be really promotional if it goes viral type stuff. Yeah.
We're excited.
How much are they per chair?
I can't say that. I can say that Doug is trying to sell them, and the port got a very good deal, although the newspaper reported they were $800 a chair. So we paid $3,200 for the chairs. He's going to be selling them for quite a bit more to the general public.
We get the government discount.
Yeah, the test program. And Susan Rogers, I have a lot of people saying, I hate Susan Rogers' black chair, but Susan is going to be painting poppies on that chair. So it's going to be really cool. It has colorful poppies all over it. So
good.
Any other questions of Jim and his executive director report?
While we're on that, and maybe it's a transition to the next, I'm not sure where it fits, but Endurus. Endurus has been a bee in my bonnet for a while. Endurus, for members of the public, is the insurance pool that the port and several hundred other public agencies, cities, counties, special purpose districts, are members of this insurance pool that allows us to get all of our insurance coverage through the one place. I've been unimpressed with the level of service we get from them. And there have been a number of snafus that fortunately didn't cause any problems but could have. And then this last week when you're at WPPA, Walt and I were sitting in one of the roundtable sessions with the representative from Endurus, and she was just filling in for the man who was supposed to be there and had the time wrong and hadn't showed up yet. But I just asked the question about why we seem to have a problem being able to choose our own counsel in lawsuits rather than taking the one they assign us, who is always in Spokane, maybe a perfectly good, fine lawyer, but he or she is in Spokane. And that's 300 miles away, and they don't know the judges here, and they don't have the local contacts, and they don't know the local rules. And what I got back from this person in response to what I thought was a fairly simple question was a blast about, I should sit down and be quiet because they're the client, not us. And that was news to me. So I guess, and this, Endurus provides a lot of good things for us. They review our contracts before we sign them off, and they look at things, give us guidance. But one of the other members of that roundtable group was from Anacortes. And it came out of the discussion that Anna Cordes is not an endurance member. And I have sort of half-heartedly for the last couple of years tried to shop around and find out, you know, what are our alternatives. So I'd like to ask the staff over the next month or so to maybe contact Anna Cordes, find out if there are others, and do a little checking about what are the alternatives. Maybe we've got the best deal there is, but at $75,000 a year for someone who doesn't know who the client is, I think we can do better.
I have one thing, just jog my memory in it. You probably have the answer, but I don't know. Do we have a separate water monitoring system for our irrigation systems?
No.
Because I think we should think about that, because the sewer bill obviously is based on your water bill, and maybe something we want to look into.
We actually are doing that.
Thank you.
What's happened is the new office building has put us over the edge as far as usage, and so we have to pay impact fees. And so Bob is working on that right now to see if, in fact, us installing meters on our irrigation system will get us clear of that impact.
Okay.
But good point, and we are on that.
Okay, thanks.
So somebody has to come up with something that Jim can't say, I'm already on that.
I really enjoy him saying that.
Okay, so commissioner reports.
I can get one of my spring conference notes.
Sure.
Takeaways, and it may duplicate. This was a small thing. Edmonds wanted to know whether we're interested.
Just before we do, I wanted to comment that all three commissioners and Jim attended the Washington Public Ports Association spring conference last week, and so we all are brimming with ideas. So.
Yeah. Anyway, Edmonds interested if we wanted to be in a beer fest with local brewers. I asked him to talk to you, Jim, but I pointed out that we already had a Wine Mark and a Kiwanis Beer Fest scheduled, so that might be a next year thing. The PR committee wants to expand training. Ashley is still the chair of that, and this could include visits to the site, maybe some training events for the upcoming conference. We want to be communication, so if we have some ideas for like the fall conference that we'd like to get them to give some education on, that might be useful, and to put that in. I saw the port of refuge thing. That doesn't apply to us at all. notwithstanding, I think we need to look at our policy for responding to distress situations when there's no other resource available. So the boat calls the Coast Guard. The Coast Guard can't get there in time. The tow companies can't get there in time. What are our legal, that Good Samaritan thing can go sideways a lot if you don't have policies. There's admiralty law when you tow a boat, so if someone gets hurt. I think we need to look at that if we haven't done that. I realize that wasn't the point of this conference, but I think that that's something to think about. The RCO presentation was very helpful because asked point blank, can we get a grant for a sailing float behind a lock gate? And they said yes. So I think we should copy Silverdale's homework and see what they had did for the 2018 cycle. I think we've got enough time to get our act together for that, because we need to replace that float. And we've talked about that. And they said some of the criteria. Here's the criteria: that having the plans and permitting in place when you make the application. We've got the time to do that. And then the other one, that was one of them, the design and ready to go, we can do that. And the third one has strong community support. And I think we got that one nailed. So it sounded to me like this would be a good opportunity for us to get that float replaced. He said that you can have a lock gate and a certain criteria for how that combination is shared. But I thought that was pretty enlightening to me, and I think we should look into that. And you know, Silverdale's doing, I think, the same thing that we have with their floats, maybe a little different dimension, but you know, that may be easy to do. Aaliyah talked a bit about waterfront trails and pathways. So I think if we end up developing the buffer zone on our by properties, which nobody can build on anyway, with a trail, public trail, which we can do, then we could consider an ALEA grant or a WWRP grant for the sidewalks, the landscaping, the walk down to the water and all that. So that was positive. We could also use those grants for interpretive signage. I think that was mentioned at our last meeting, environmentally informative signage. And it got a little fuzzy between ALEA and WWRP. ALEA's aquatic lands, and ALEA's wildlife, or whatever what it is. But they're kind of seem like in the same bucket. But what I heard is WWRP has a lot more money, so something to keep in mind. And then they said the LCWF, and I think that's a federal program, and I don't know what they stand for, could be a source for add-on amenities. Like you mentioned a water feature at the Washington Boulevard Park that's probably not in our budget. Or I've always thought that a playground down by the band shell, so kids during a farmer's market would have something to do. But that could be a source for that. So I think I learned a fair bit about there's a lot of grant opportunities out there that we might be wanting to pursue. That's it.
Bruce?
I sat through the legal committee meeting there, 3 hours. A lot of good information, but most of which I won't, belabor here. There are two amendments to the Public Records Act, one of which calls for a study and for additional training for smaller entities, which I think will be, once it gets the funding gets in place, both of those points will be very significant. The other is simply an update of the act that allows, the way the act was written before, it allowed agencies to charge for photocopies. Well, that act was written in the 1970s. There was no voicemail, no cell phone, no personal computers, no electronic gadgets. The statute said you could charge for photocopies, but nobody ever wanted photocopies anymore. That has been now expanded out, so it's on that same level of like 15 cents or 12 cents a copy for electronic copies and attachments and so on. But it was the first revision to that part of the law in 30-some years, so it was long overdue. Until we get a deep sea tanker running aground out here on the in the cove, I don't think we have the problem with port of refuge.
Port of refuge. Yeah. Interpol.
Those are bigger boats than even we have.
So what is the study on? What is the public records?
Oh,
the
public records study. The legislature is setting aside $25,000, which probably isn't nearly enough, but it's a start, to study the idea of a single portal, single database for all public records in the state. Utah apparently has implemented something like that, and so the act that was signed by the governor does target, particularly go study Utah, see how that's working. And, it sounds like an insurmountable task until you stop and remember that the state auditor last year concluded that we're sending, I think it was $60 million a year now on public records requests across the state. And, several years worth of that would pay for an awful lot of a single database. And to me, the big advantage of that is that it takes away all the local discretion and the need for the small local agencies to learn everything about the law, all the ins and outs and speed traps in it. And it would have then a single staff that was totally familiar with the law, searching in a single database. And that, to me, would drastically improve public access to all of the records in the state. It's just compiling all of that that is going to be the challenge. So stay tuned for that next year. They have to make their report by, I think, it's next fall, September.
As in 17
or a year from now, yeah.
Okay.
So it'll be very interesting to see what they come up with on that. One other thing just passed on for the staff. I was at the chamber board meeting this morning, and one issue that came up. They're having trouble getting volunteers for the watering on the baskets. And so they were discussing the idea of could the timing of the watering crew be changed so that it didn't have to be people who retired, but it could be people who worked. And it was pointed out that the gator and the staff of the port to be able to get it ready and serviced and check it in and check it out is kind of dependent on staff hours. So just be aware that somebody may come talk to you about just what are the limits. I didn't state any, you know, I said this sort of time people go home, but that doesn't mean you can use it up until then. Talk to Jim about what are the latest they could get it or the earliest they could get it.
My favorite takeaway from the conference was a conversation with Port Townsend's whale watching business that moors at
Edmonds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. And Jim and I had quite a conversation with Peter Henke about what a smart business move it would be to moor on our side and go over and pick them up and head up. In terms of both the moorage and the fuel. Mm-hmm. And I ran into him several times during the rest of the meeting, and he said had already talked with one of his partners about it, or one of his staff, whatever. He was intrigued. And have you had?
I have not talked to him since, but he has this week. I've given him one more week.
I think, you know, the one thing that's helped sells us is we have high-speed fuel delivery, which Edmonds doesn't have. Yeah. Which can be important.
30 cents a gallon cheaper.
And cheaper, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how many gallons do they use?
There's 2,000 a week.
And how much cheaper?
30 cents.
Yeah, we raise our price.
Okay, staff comments.
If we're over 100% of consulting fees, does that mean we need to adjust the budget?
Well, we already did.
It's just not shown on that report. It'll be shown next month.
Okay.
Yeah, the additions to the budget that we took the last meeting will take effect May 1.
Right. And some of it's heartland.
Just one thing is how we apportion costs. How do we differentiate between lighting for the parking area and electricity costs for everything else? So
I don't know that we can. I don't know if we
can. I mean, you certainly could. I mean, that's a big lighting bill for those large lights. I guess when we get the LED, it might be different. But it's just I was just kind of wondering how what methodology we have. But I hear that may be something to be determined another time. Yeah.
I think they're on a separate meter, to my knowledge.
Which ones? The
parking light, yeah, parking lot lights.
They aren't. And I have that in the other sheet with the class cost.
Yeah.
And electricity for
we do have it set?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
So, I mean, our parking lot, from what our invoices show, is not a lot. It's the one that we get the most of is the marina, the
But that's a pass-through. That's a pass-through.
Yeah.
And we would pass through our, you know, we just charge. I mean, what we pay otherwise, I'm just talking about the parking lot cost center and how we track the electricity for the lights for the parking lot.
Yeah, it's
okay,
like
good.
$13.98 a month or something.
Okay, cool.
Just for the parking lot.
Okay, cool. So you just kind of figured out from the wattage
from, and all that. Yeah, and from the way they mark it on the bill as far as it has it in sections on there.
Oh, okay.
The addresses are different for like the KCYC
Okay.
office.
Well, thanks. Appreciate that.
So miscellaneous income without tax, I mean, these are small categories, and retail taxed. Is that related to seasonality? Those things will pick up?
For the retail, yes, because most of our shirts and hats, you know, our spring, summer stuff, that's going to pick up here soon. The miscellaneous tax is really just miscellaneous, a word we don't, doesn't necessarily have its own category. Sometimes we get a refund back from, we got two refunds, one from Comcast, one from CenturyLink. We just put it in miscellaneous for now.
Okay.
The rest is pretty straightforward.
Why is insurance zero at this point? Is that an annual payment?
Yeah. Our insurance, we don't pay it till August because it renews every October.
Okay. Anita, I would really like to hear a detailed explanation of the $4 reconciliation discrepancy.
I forgot what that one was. It was just like a little error. It was just a silly error of mixing up the numbers, really.
Juanita, looking at the profit and loss by class, and Marina in there, but I don't see the fuel sales in there. Are they not considered part of that? Or
I don't separate that. I can if you want.
Well, I can go somewhere else and get it, but I just wanted
right,
to know
right.
it.
So
because
all the fuel sales and nets and everything we pay out and everything that comes in is Marina.
Would go through Marina, right. So that's just not reflected in this number. I thought I can plug it in. Okay. Wanted to make sure I wasn't missing it somewhere.
Does it make sense to show it, to include it on this?
Mm-hmm. We know, because it's Marina. We don't use it for anything else.
We could use it for policy making on what our profit margin should be. I mean, you know, that data might be helpful to us to decide what you will be charging for fuel. We kind of have a policy, but we never revisit it.
Yeah. So right now we're charging 50 cents, so whatever it costs us, we add 50 cents to that, mm-hmm. plus 9% sales tax. Mm-hmm.
Jim, do you have a number, like I'm looking at the hours in the breakdown. Do you have the number that you use as the, you know, what does an hour of labor cost us in, and does it vary broadly across, or do you have an average number that would give us a sense of what each of these represents dollar-wise?
I use $25 burdened for everybody, mm-hmm. and it kind of works itself out. There's some less, some more.
Right.
But for our pay scale, about 25 per.
25 is a, okay.
Yeah.
Does that include any of the overhead, or is?
That's just taxes, insurance, things like that that we pay.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm kind of concerned about the hours. I still don't understand them, because if I figure 160 hours for an FTE, we're overstaffed in some of our areas and understaffed in others compared to other ports and other marinas. And I don't think that's true, but it's, you know, when Poulsbo does it with 2 to 3 people, and we take 5 to 6 people, and Brownsville about the same, you got to wonder, why is there such a difference? And I think our people are doing all good work and all the right things, but it's hard to make sense out of these numbers that way, you know. So
it's all priorities. We certainly can cut staff, or we can do different things, but our portfolio is a lot broader than Poulsbo. You know, we have the Toth property, we have Washington Boulevard Park, we have our big park that they don't have, and that takes a lot of time.
Yeah, actually, I'm saying if it takes us 6.5 FTEs to run the marina, and Poulsbo is pure marina, they don't have anything else, and it takes them 3 to maybe 3 people, then we are, well, you got the inside staff, let's say 4 people, we're 2 people more, 2.5 people more. And the same with Brownsville. That's kind of what I'm saying there. But I know our people are doing good work, and I don't want to change anything.
We did.
I just think the numbers don't necessarily.
We did lose one FTE this month.
Yeah, I know that.
Replaced. So that will help. But we do have a big staff for a small budget. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. Okay.
Included on the reports. I did find out, thank you, Walt, the commissioner's salary was supposed to be increased to $254 a month.
So could you say that again?
The commissioner's salary for the month is supposed to be $254. It was $200. So I will adjust that for this month. And also the insurances for commissioners. we're going to renew it. We already got a charge for the vision for Mary and Bruce, for both of you and your spouses, and also the dental will be renewed sometime next week, I believe. If you don't have your card, we can reissue the same. The same one will work, but if you want a new card, I can get you one.
I could just explain why I got to that salary thing. I was asked at a Village Green board meeting what we paid, you know, what we paid, and I knew there was an inflation adjuster in the state law. So I went to the OFM and said, you're supposed to do the adjustment, and they gave me the, it's not a WAC, but it's a regulation produced by the recorder's office, I think, and it says, okay, they do it every 5 years, they adjust everything for inflation, the caps, the amounts, and they push it out. So that last one was done in 2013. The next one will be 2018. And they just do an adjustment. So that's how that came out, because I had that discussion. You were there for that. And I really didn't know the numbers. So.
That's all I have.
So the Vision Dental, which seemed to me to be expensive for what benefit they actually provide, where are you in exploring health coverage as opposed to Vision Dental?
Well, because it's, from what I was told, it's pretty difficult because the commissioners don't work 20 hours a week. You'd have to look into something else or somewhere else. All of McCrest, our health broker, can't seem to find anything that will benefit what you're looking for plus what the cost. If you want to, I can look around.
Well, we did a proposal, and for the four of us, it was $4,000 a month each. I was just amazed how much money it because it's based on age. Mm-hmm. So if you're 20 years old, it's great. But if you're not 20 years old, it's not so good. So we are shopping, but we haven't found a way to cover the commission. We went to the state pool to try to figure that out, and that wouldn't work either. So it's a little tough.
Well, I'd like to give some consideration to not having the dental coverage because it is, and the vision coverage because it's so expensive, and the thresholds are high, so you end up spending a lot of your own money before it kicks in, and I'd like to give some consideration to that, at least personally. So.
Yeah, I agree with you. My assessment of it was awfully expensive for what you got. Not $4,000 a month, but but that is totally out of line. But yeah, that's that could fairly be looked at as non-essential.
Let's see, I'll get back to you about that. Okay.
That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Sam.
All right. I gave everybody a copy of my staff report. That includes the June 2017 schedule of public meetings and events. And while I've got everybody here, if I may confirm with the board, that Christian McClure, you were the only one interested in attending the semi-annual finance and accounting seminars, or administration seminars. Is that correct? Or was that one that was on your radar as a potential WPPA function?
It was on the radar as a potential.
All right. And did you want to move forward with attending that? That would take place, what is that, the 14th through the 16th of June is the WPPA Finance and Administration Seminar. And that is at the Semiahmoo Resort, and that's in Blaine, Washington.
Are we sending staff to him?
No.
No? We used to routinely send staff, but just can't.
Juanita considered it. It really is for finance directors. It's really not an executive director or commissioner seminar.
Yeah, I went last year.
I know we always used to send, because I'm thinking about the upward mobility of people in the staff, and no matter where they are in the organization, getting the training that we can have easy access to.
I'm fine to forego that.
Okay, very good. Very good.
You encourage you to send staff, though. Nonetheless. Yeah.
And then on the topic of calendars and schedules, and we're ramping up for our busy summer season at Mike Wallace Park at the port, and we've got a calendar full of really exciting events coming up for June and July. We've got a really nice balance of both, public and community events, as well as some privately booked events for our event facilities, which is nice to see. June sees a few things. We've got the wine walk coming up first weekend of June. We've also got the Kiwanis Brewfest end of June. We've got a couple private events to celebrate our graduates, and that's June 10th, I believe. We've also got in July, we see our Concerts on the Cove coming to the park. We've got 4th of July. And we've also got, I mentioned this at the tail end of last year, but we've got the Listen to Your Art Festival. And that is it's an annual student-run arts and music festival, and it benefits the Trevor Project. And these young planners, they're doing an amazing job. They're really going for it. And on top of that, a lot of them are in the graduating class. So they're doing a great job keeping it all moving forward, and they did a really great plug-in for Mike Wallace Park and the event for July at the Viking Fest. They had a float entry this last weekend, so that was fun to see. We're looking forward to seeing that. And on the topic of 4th of July, last year the port participated in the parade, and we wanted to see if the commissioners would like to enter the parade again this year. And if so, staff would like to request a small budget increase for more bubbles.
We ran out of bubbles.
Bubbles after 2 blocks.
I know, we need more bubbles.
More bubbles or more candy.
more bubbles, more candy.
I think it was a big success last year. Hopefully the commission thought so too. It would be fun to be in the parade with the jump car, the pirate walking behind us if he so desires.
Some people didn't want to be seen with this one.
All right. And then last but not least on my update is it's a port IT systems update. So administration experienced a minor IT systems security breach. That was on May 10th. And we were exposed to a ransomware virus. And I'm sure everybody saw in the news the ransomware thing in Europe and a lot of government agencies. We did not get that ransomware virus. We didn't get the famous one. We got a lesser.
A second.
Yeah. We didn't get the cool one. We didn't get the news. So with that, the name of the virus was Sub-Zero AOL. It's between the fast action taken by port staff and our IT support contractors helped us calibrate. Only one workstation's files were encrypted and lost in their entirety. Those that were not backed up, and minimal effects seen in server file locations, and those were completely cleared and restored to secure backup with no data loss. The security incident brought to light the need for an assessment of port IT security protocol. And in that sense, it's really just taking a look at what systems do we have in place, those protections, are we at the cutting edge of that technology based on what's out there in the big bad world. And so we will be updating our network's firewall protection to a program called SAPOS. The install date is projected for the end of this week or beginning of next. This program is the same one that the banks use. And it will provide the most current technology and protection against future infiltration and data loss. So we really do extend our thanks to the team at Helpdesk Calvary for, catching it when they did and getting everything fixed in such a timely fashion. We really did have minimal loss based on what could have happened had it not been caught, and minimal loss of productivity. So everything's good, everything's safe, and moving forward.
So was the material that was lost, was that current or?
It was mine.
It was
my computer. I'm very sad. So yeah, it's the backup. I had done a complete desktop backup of in-progress documents and documents that, meeting documents, things of that nature, mm-hmm. had been backed up to our server and to public drives. But there were some, special projects, things that were drafts and things that that had not made it to the backup folder, unfortunately, prior to my absence from the office due to that coming so quickly. So, but it can be recreated. We can redo it.
I'm sorry to hear that. For your sake.
Yeah. We of course do have full documentation as provided by Help Desk. We have the full logs on file. That way, should any of this surface as far as a records request in the future or documentation request in the future, we do have documentation to back up and justify a loss of verifiable records in response to a records request if it comes up.
Well, we're lucky.
Yeah, I know, we are.
Well, and skill. There's skill involved in that, not just luck.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I appreciate everybody's attention to that.
No. All right. What time is it?
2:25.
Okay. We would like to recess to an executive session at this point. To discuss with legal counsel matters relating to enforcement actions or to discuss agency litigation or potential litigation to which the agency, governing body, or a member acting in an official capacity is or is likely to become a party. So how long do you anticipate we will take?
I think a half hour.
So we will reconvene to public session in a half an hour. Okay. So we're reconvened to regular meeting exactly 30 minutes after we started.
Good.
How perfect. And Are there other, any other topics that anyone on the commission or Jim wants to bring up?
Okay.
And our next regular meeting is Wednesday, June 28th, at 1 p.m. And if there's other comment from the citizens in... Bobby, did you have any comment you wanted to make? Okay. So then I think we are adjourned. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Yeah.